Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. A young man was being interviewed to be a pilot along the Mississippi River. And the question that was proposed to him was this: do you know where all the rocks are? Because the interviewer doubted whether this young man had the skill to navigate the boats. He said, "No, sir, I do not know where all the rocks are, but I know where they aren't." And the young man got the job. You see, the Bible is that tool for us to navigate through the rocks and to know where the areas that we can go in life. There's a lot of rocky areas in life. A lot of challenges that we have. Unless our faith is firm in God and understand not only our position here on earth, but also our position in heaven, we'll have difficult times. The Bible says, you know, don't be surprised when you have tribulations and have trials. We are to expect those. It's not the trials and tribulations, it's how do we navigate through them. And today Paul is talking to a church in Corinth and encouraging them to have an awareness of the times. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you again for this time and for your church, for the opportunity to gather here. And Lord, I just pray for this message today and for this time together, that your presence is felt, that your truth is illuminated, and Lord, that your power is demonstrated, because it is your church, your people, and it's your purposes that we seek and seek to serve you. Bless us in this time, Father, we ask in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Take your Bibles and please turn to, amen, I love that, good strong. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles around you. Grab one of those and turn to page 133. Continuing on in our study in this letter, this important letter, I believe, to the church in Corinth. Looking at verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Got that? Great. Page 133 in the latter half. Hey, DJ. Verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away. I think in this passage today, first Paul addresses present times, present to the situation 2,000 years ago in Corinth. Verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. Jesus spoke about marriage. What God has brought together, let no man separate. And was very clear about that. Sayings of Jesus were passed on from believers to believers. But Paul had no specific word from Jesus concerning the subject of those that were not married or had not been married. Paul speaking of young unmarried women only. And Paul stated in this section in chapter 7, verse 1, now concerning the things about which you wrote. And so we can assume that they had a question about this and what is the best way to address this issue, or maybe a concern in the church of Corinth. But Paul is offering inspired wisdom, presenting this as a trustworthy, him as being a trustworthy servant of the Lord, a deliberately formed decision from knowledge and spirit inspired by God. Verse 26, I think then that this is good in view of the present distress. Present distress is an interesting term because we don't really know exactly what it is. Paul referred to an unspecified current calamity that was in the church of Corinth. Roman persecutions began within about 10 years of this writing, this letter. So we know it wasn't the persecutions per se, but something was an issue in the church in Corinth. In times of persecution, consideration for family can make it difficult to live out Christian convictions and purposes to the fullest extent. A virgin would have a lesser family responsibilities, would not be impacted by the possibility of persecutions or repercussions affecting her husband or her children. Persecutions is difficult for a single person to endure, but problems and pain are multiplied for those who are marred, especially if they have children. When my wife perceives that I've been injured in some way, it affects her as well. She is my partner. She is my best friend. She is the closest person that I have here on earth, and I'm grateful for that. Sometimes it's harder for her to get over something concerning me than it is for me to do it. I think that just has to do with gray hair and age. But I appreciate her compassion and love for me, and I feel the same way with her and would protect her for all that I have within me. Jesus has spoken about calamities which would precede his second coming in Matthew chapter 24. And though Paul had denied saying that the advent was right at hand, he had talked about that in 2 Thessalonians. But there was something going on. And he said that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Probably Paul meant more generic for man and woman, because the Greek word anthropoi is a generic term for man or woman and not just specific in gender. And they are to remain as they are, whether married or unmarried. He says, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. We do not seek to be released because God ordains marriages, and we don't at a whim seek to break it apart, or even when challenges are there. We believe that God's greater than any challenges that we have, and then we pray that his coming alongside. Paul is addressing the married that they are to remain married and remain strong in the Lord. But if you're single, don't seek a wife, because the challenges can be great. Bachelors as well as widows are included in the latter half of that verse. And in this, Paul only urges this because of the present distress. Whether he held on to that attitude or that view later on, we do not know. But certainly he had marriage in the highest and noblest view, as he has talked about Ephesians chapter 5. In fact, that is the passage in verses 22 to 33 that is used most in premarital counseling, where the passage that Paul has is there's one command for a husband, one command for a wife. And if you stick just to those two and do those, that you have a greater chance of harmony in your marriage. But mix it up or jumble up and you can have difficulties. Excuse me. But Paul does not present it as his opinion for all men at all times. But if you marry, Paul says, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But, Paul says, even if you don't take this advice, you have not sinned. Marriage is a fully legitimate and godly option for both the divorce on biblical grounds and virgins that were in that time. Yet, he says in verse 28, such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. Ever try to give advice to someone that you want to spare them a little bit, and they go ahead and do it anyway? Sometimes that's just the nature. My mom was great at giving out godly advice, and I decided, yeah. She's a very wise woman. I think the book that she could write now, you write the book and I'll just affirm, yes, my mother, yes, I'll just agree with that. In our own lives, we try to give wisdom to our kids, you know, because we don't want them to go through the same hurts and sufferings. But they'll do it, just as their kids will do it as well. I love to sometimes think that with Josh. I said, Josh, I just pray that you get the same kind of kid that you are to me. That gets him thinking a little bit. Although he's great up there with his headphones on right now. You're listening though, aren't you? Awesome. And it's on tape, so we have a verified truth there. But you know, we do. We too try to spare those we love, but you know, can't always do that. Sometimes the best learning is the experience that you have when you go through something. And hopefully just go through it once. Marriage can involve conflicts and demands and difficulties and adjustments that singleness does not. There's a friend of mine that I've often spoken of, and just a dear brother in Christ who just desperately wants to be married. You know, and sometimes you want to just say, you know, really? Okay, it's great, but do sometimes we think you've got nothing tying you. Isn't this? But you know what? But that's what's upon his heart, and I would just keep praying for the person that God's going to bring along to him and fulfill that part of his life. Not that he's wrong, you know, or not that he needs to change his thoughts. But marriage it can be a challenge because in the part that Paul gives, it's the idea that it presses two fallen people together into an intimate life which can lead to inevitable trouble. There are trouble in marriages. That's just the way life is. There's trouble between people, and we have challenges, but, you know, God also helps us overcome those as well. You know, we had an occasion in Washington, D.C. We had a horrible moment where we were coming out of the Capitol building, and we had just gotten this really nice tour. And thank you, Jake, for suggesting. I contacted Debbie Stabenow's office, and her aide, Ben, was kind of forced into taking us on a tour of the Capitol, kind of a bridged one, but we saw the back things that most people don't see. And it was really fun. It was a neat thing, and they were very gracious and did that. I never thought about contacting my senator, but we got out of there and we were hungry, and we hadn't eaten for a while, and when not eating in our family, that's not a good thing, not good at all. You know, when the glazed donuts kind of come over the eyes, you know that we're in trouble, and we're out of this. We came out of the Capitol, it's starting to get dark out, and we're trying to find a place to eat, and we asked Ben, Senator Stabenow's assistant, said, just go down to Constitution, make a left, and you'll be okay. Now, we're in Washington, D.C. I know that there is a Constitution, and I guess there's a street named that as well, and as well as other streets and stuff as well. So, but, you know, and then I had went to use my debit card. Now, if you're with Elga and some of these, there's been a lot of breaches in security, and so they've been changing our cards. You know, they canceled our cards and said there was a breach with Home Depot, and so they issued a new card. And then a month later, they said, well, there's another breach, and so we're going to have to issue a new card. Your card's good, though, to the 29th, although it stopped working on the 22nd when trying to buy some spaghetti. And so now we're in Washington, D.C., you know, and we're kind of watching the budget a little bit there. And I went to take some money out of the credit union there, which, amazingly, there was a Navy credit union right there in the Capitol building. I thought, how convenient. And put the card in there, declined. Declined. Third time's a charm, right? Decline. I'm thinking, okay, this is not good, you know, because I use all by card. I don't carry cash around me. So now we're outside the Capitol building. We're trying to find something to eat. The stress levels are beginning to grow a little bit, you know, and I'm on phone with Washington, D.C. to Burton to talk to Elga to find out why my card's not working. I'm on hold. We're trying to find this direction to this street that we need to go to and make a left-hand turn where there's tons of restaurants. Apparently, there's plenty of food that we can't get to. And I'm on phone, and she's getting a little bit upset, and then she says, you know, who are you talking to? And I go, it doesn't matter. I'm taking care of business. Wasn't the best choice of words and attitude I could have used at that moment. I just wanted to fix something, you know, and I wasn't doing that. And so it brought some many quiet moments for about the next hour and a half, you know. Quiet as pizza we ever found on Washington, D.C. We eventually found it was Pennsylvania, not Constitution, that we needed to find. And there was no problem with the credit card. It was a problem with the credit machine. The problem, the thing is, you're going to have difficulties. And I love this woman. I've known her since I was 15 years of age. But there's going to be difficulties. And it wasn't until we got back to the house finally, after a long bus ride in silence and walking, that we're able to talk it out. And, you know, and just be able to say, honey, I'm sorry, that was a stupid choice. You just said, I'm doing business. If you just said, I'm on the phone to the credit union, but then see, my stress levels were getting kind of high too. And I'm a man, I was trying to fix it. What I did was broke something else that didn't need to be broken. Marriage has its challenges, and Paul's trying to spare those that are still single, yet with the difficult times, that this is just going to compound it. We can't just be free to concentrate on the Lord. We have other challenges that we have in life. But I think Paul then makes a switch there in verses 29 to 31, where he gives a turn to the argument about from the present necessity to future times. Verse 29, "But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened." I think if we need to underline a verse in our Bible or highlight, this is one for us as well. The time has been shortened. Apparently, Paul pictures the foreshortening of time because of the possible nearness of the hope of the second coming of Christ. You see, that is what Scripture teaches, is that we need to always be living as if he could come today. Not tomorrow. Not even tomorrow night, but even before this message is done. Christ's return is imminent, and the time is short. In Philippians, Paul refers to his death as a real possibility. And though still looking for the coming of Christ, Philippians 1, starting verse 21, says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." In light of Christ's future coming, he says, "So that from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess." Now, that's kind of a confusing couple of verses there. It's kind of like, you know, what does that mean in light of everything? Paul is meaning that all of the earthly relations that we have are to hang loosely in view of Christ's return. There is nothing that we are to hold on so tightly that it circumvents the second coming of Christ. That there's something, there should be nothing so tight in our lives that we are holding on to that more than we are the desire and the hope to see Christ again. You know, we see the times changing, and we see things in this world that make it look like it's imminent. But you know, truthfully, that's the way the church has been called to live for the last 2,000 years. They felt that even 2,000 years ago, that his return could even be then. So, but we have the challenge not to be lulled to sleep that, okay, 2,000 years, we got another 2,000 years to go. Don't think that. Because the Bible also says, like a thief in the night, Christ will return. And we have to be aware of that as well. Does not teach, though, that marriage is no longer binding or treated with seriousness, nor there should be any physical deprivation in marriage. Paul is teaching that marriage should not reduce one's devotion to the Lord and service to him. He means to keep the eternal priority at the forefront of our thoughts and our actions. A mature Christian does not get swept away in emotion of this life so that this is all that there is and the most important thing that there is, so that we lose motivation. There's no second O there. So that we don't lose motivation and hope and purpose. In verse 31, "And those who use this world as though they did not make full use of us," refers as the normal commercial materialism of this world that can so suck us into it that we lose all sight of everything, having more accumulation becomes the view, and that is not the view. That is not the desire. In fact, Christianity is in the business of distribution. Distributing the love of God and the truth of Christ Jesus. That's our goal. That is our aim and our purpose. Believers are not to be so swept up in earthly enterprises that heavenly matters become secondary, and that those who do use are not to use it to the fullest. So consumed as to constitute abuse. And even Christians can do that. I think I told you about a friend of mine that I actually have not talked to in many, many years that believed that you should run up as much credit card debt as you can, because Christ comes, all the credit cards remain. and so does the debt. There's good godly advice. So even in churches, even with believers, they can get totally out of whack. And Paul says in the last part of verse 31, for the form of this world is passing away. He's talking about the outward appearance. It's an old word, a schema, meaning passes along like a moving panorama view, like a movie show. And it was used of Jesus as passing through Jericho in Matthew chapter 20. Hi, DJ. Got my attention. Paul does not want to be understood as prohibiting the marriage of virgins or anyone. But again, this is his preference, not an apostolic command, but wanting us to be aware. If the unmarried person should marry, they have not sinned. And even if they should marry, however, they should consider themselves similar to those who are unmarried as far as their dedication to God's purposes. I'm very grateful that in my marriage to my wife, that I am not the number one person in her life. I'm not, and I never have been, nor will I ever be, because Christ is number one in her life. And that is exactly the way it should be. As much as I love her, she's not the number one person in my life. God has got to be number one in following Christ and all that he asks of me to do. If that ever comes out of whack, if I ever try to distort that or the other way around, then that'll be our time to have a talk and to reaffirm that we are believers in Christ first and lovers of self secondly. He admonishes them not to get caught up in the world and around them because it is only temporary. I want to give you a couple of thoughts, and this is what it is. Our lives and the events that surround us, including marrying or not marrying, are secondary to the need that we have to live for Christ. Especially in times like these, in a world that needs to see hope, they need to see a hope in us. To live in such a way that Christ is exalted and seen as the very resource of all that we have. I believe that to be our spouses and our children and our job, they are given to us, and we need to explain that and to share that as well. So as it was expressed to the church in Corinth, we too need to live in the awareness of the times, knowing that time is short, and Christ is the answer to the immediate as well as to the eternal. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you for the power that it holds. May it continue to take hold of us as we study it, grow in it, and learn it, and then apply it to our everyday lives. Father, may we serve you with all that we have so that all that we have can be used by you to bring you glory. And we ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us. And we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.